And if you have your Bibles, I know I read from Matthew chapter 6, but if you have your Bible, just glance to Psalm 62 for a moment. <coughs> 2017 is upon us. And as we can say at the beginning of any new year, none of us know what this new year will bring, either as individuals, within our families, within our community, within our nation, and amongst the nations. We simply do not know. And what I want to do this evening, just for this time together on this New Year's Day, is, if you like, to leave some watchwords with you for 2017. Really, some, if you like, principles from the Word of God that take us, I believe, right to the very heart of what we ought to be doing. It's maybe not completely full in what I will say, in that I may leave out a few things, but here are some core things that I believe will be for our spiritual benefit in this coming year. I want to speak, first of all, a bit of general, and then focus on something to do with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 62 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall never be shaken." So what I want to say to you, and as always, a preacher first and foremost preaches to himself. And here is a watchword for this new year. Rest in the Almighty. Now, I could develop that in different ways. We are, of course, to rest alone in Christ for our salvation. But what I want to focus on here is that as believing people, and many of us here tonight would profess salvation in Jesus Christ, would profess to have been saved by the grace of God. And so this word is for you. And it's a word that in this coming year, that you are to find rest in God. What does that actually mean? Well, let me quote you something that C.H. Spurgeon used to say to his people. And he said there are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. "We should be better Christians," said Spurgeon, "if we were more alone, waiting upon God, and gathering through meditation on his word spiritual strength for labor in his service." And he goes on to describe it in this way, and he uses a picture that a farming community can identify with. He says this: "Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons," that's us, "make but slow advances in the divine life?" And Spurgeon says it is because they neglect their closets, and they do not thoroughly meditate upon God's word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. From such folly, deliver us, O Lord." And Spurgeon is speaking there of taking time to rest in God, to wait upon God, to the stage where your soul will be fed and nourished and satisfied and inspired and motivated to rise from that place and to go out and to live. Is that a word for someone here this evening? I believe it is. If truth be told, it's a word for all of us. That we have been captivated, we have to confess, by the busyness and the rush and the hustle and bustle of this modern world. And if truth be told, we actually do not really either like or want times of solitude. We do not maybe know what to do with moments of silence and quietness. But here's a word from the Lord tonight. My soul finds rest in God alone. And so I say to you as your pastor, in 2017, make it your resolution to carve out whatever way you will, times when you can be alone and quiet in the presence of God and his word. And pluck the fruit. Gather the corn. Grind the wheat of his word. And allow it to touch your soul. Find rest, spiritual rest, in the Almighty. Second little watchword that I want to leave with you this evening is this. And I want to, if you like, develop what I've just said in a Trinitarian manner. So in other words, I'm going to say something about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Father. Psalm 31 says this. It's a text often thought about at this time of the year. Psalm 31 and verse 14, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." And the verses that we read from Matthew chapter 6, "Your heavenly Father knows. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." You know, the truth of the matter is this, folks. As I've already intimated, 2017, like any other year, will no doubt bring a whole variety of days. Days when I don't just mean literally, but in another sense, days when the sun is shining. But other days when it's really overcast and dark. Good days, bad days, sad days, tragic days, difficult days. And here's the question. How do you cope in that whole variety of life? Do we sit here, having just heard what I have said to you, giving a forecast of what the year will bring, a whole mix of things, and fret and fear? No, we do not. We trust our Heavenly Father, because your Heavenly Father knows. He knows. He's God after all. And so we are not to worry overly about what this year may bring. But we are to prepare ourselves for what this year may bring. And one of the ways in which we do that is to trust in our Heavenly Father, who knows. He can be trusted. He's a loving and good and kind God. Our times are in His hands. And think about this, folks. His hands are not like my hands. My hands are very weak hands. But His hands are strong hands and secure hands and faithful hands and all the other words that you would want to bring. Trust in the Father. And maybe there's somebody here this evening, and for different reasons, the coming year, there's a particular issue, a particular thing on your heart, maybe a very personal thing, maybe a family thing. And in your heart of hearts, you're saying, Lord, I'm worried about that. I'm troubled about that. What am I going to do? And I say to you tonight, your Heavenly Father knows. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Our times are in God's hands. Rest on that. Be secure in that. And trust your Heavenly Father. Rest in the Almighty. Trust in the Father. Here's another little principle from the Word of God for this New Year's Day at this epilogue service. Live for the King. You see, it's one thing for us to hear and to be challenged to rest and to trust, but we also must live. Life is for the living. And we do have to live. We live each day of each week, of each month that God gives us. Romans 12, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And here's the word I want you to notice. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Live in such a way that other people will know that you are living for the King, King Jesus. Live in such a way that people will know without any shadow of doubt that you are a Christian. We live in a world today, think about this, and you allow this to motivate you to not be ashamed to live as a Christian. Because sometimes we do hide our light under a bushel, don't we? But think about it this way. We live in an age, and I'm not going to go into detail here, but we live in an age where people who have absolutely no thought for God or no respect for God or no respect for the gospel, are they hiding their light under a bushel? No, not at all. They are flaunting everything, not ashamed to stand up for what they are. And it would make us blush what they are. Why then, the Christian believer, sometimes we are slow to say to people, I am a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Why are we slow? We are afraid of what they might say. We are afraid that they might scoff at us. We are afraid that they might dismiss us and ridicule us. But remember the words of Jesus. Blessed are you when they persecute you, for so they did the prophets of old. You are following in a great line if you are called to bear the cross in that way. I remember reading a little story, an amazing little story in many ways of a father who happened to be a father who was teaching his little boy what a Christian ought to be and how a Christian ought to live, what a Christian ought to be like. And whenever the lesson, if you like, was over. The little boy looked at his father and said this, "Father, have I ever seen one? Have I ever seen one? Have I ever seen a Christian?" And the father who told that story said that he never, ever forgot that. It was a profound question. Have I ever seen one? D.L. Moody used to often say that Christians are the world's Bible. Because so many people in Moody's day, and certainly in our day, do not read the Bible. But when they see a Christian, we are, what does the older translation of 2 Corinthians say, living epistles. We are to be, if you like, the Word of God to them in the way that we live. So live for the King. And if I can put it in this almost very earthy way, remembering and picking up on the words of the little boy, have I ever seen one? It is my prayer that whatever road you live on, and I'm just pulling certain roads out of my head, whether it's the Rooney Road or the Ballinran Road or the Moyad Road or the Cargany Road or the Newry Road or whatever, and by the way, if I haven't mentioned your road, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. Whatever road you're on, people should be able to say, you see that woman over there, you see that girl, you see that man who lives in there, yes, they're Christians. They're not perfect, of course we're not, but there's something different. And God forbid that people on any of our roads would be saying something different, like, well, yeah, I see them going out to church on a Sunday morning, but you should see them on a Monday. It's a different kettle of fish. God forbid that that would ever be the case. And look, folks, we're all very flawed here, and we can all probably at this point in the sermon say, oh, goodness, and we think of a particular thing in all of our lives. Of course we do. But it's a new year. If you like, it's a blank page. It's a new start. Let's resolve that in 2017, we will, by the grace of God, live for the King. Even though others will misrepresent us, ridicule us, laugh at us, call us all sorts of names, either in front of us or behind our backs. So what? They did an awful lot worse to our Lord. So what if somebody calls you a name? Live for the King. And here's the final thing I leave with you tonight. Lean on the Spirit. Oh, this is desperately important. Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I remember a few years ago reading a wonderful book by the late Reverend Dr. John T. Carson, a book on revival, God's River in Spate. And you know how we desperately need to be revived in this day and age, folks, desperately. There is a carelessness and an apathy abroad, and it even touches the Church of Jesus Christ. How we desperately need to be revived and to be renewed by the Spirit of the living God. One of the things that that book reminds us of, and I was thinking about it as I was thinking of this message tonight. And I know it takes us back many years, but do not dismiss something because it takes us back many years. That in the year 1840, two Presbyterian groups came together to form the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And let me earth that in a way that you might be interested in, and hopefully more than just interested. In the year 1840, as part of that, the Secession Church, which sat out in the graveyard behind Boyd's Garden, that church, which is now long gone, joined with Mourne Presbyterian Church, which was part of the Ulster Synod, and they came together as part of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, as part of our history. And in 1840, one of the very first resolutions that was passed by the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland was an earnest call to prayer for revival. A special day was appointed, and I quote, as a day of solemn humiliation, because of our manifold shortcomings and transgressions, and of special prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our ministers, our elders, and our people. Unquote. Folks, that was 1840. 18 years later, the first stirrings of revival came. The 1858-59 revival. And sometimes that's a lesson. We don't just gather for prayer today and revival breaks out tomorrow. Oh God, grant that it would. But it's not always that way. And it may be years down the line. Some of us may never see it. But should that stop us from crying on to God? I was talking to somebody, in fact, a number of people recently, and they were saying to me, you know, I fear for the coming generations. The way things are in our world, the way things are in our nation, what will it be for our children and our grandchildren? Well, turn that into prayer. Cry unto God for the coming generations, that if the Lord tarry, that he would revive his church again. Saturday evening coming, men, is the elders' prayer time. I commend that to you. And look out in the bulletin over January for the times of prayer on a Saturday morning to seek the Lord. Let me finish with this. I may have quoted this before, but anyway, it doesn't matter. A little piece of verse entitled, Where is God's Power? A city full of churches, great preacher-lettered men, grand music, choirs and organs. If all these fail, what then? Good workers, eager, earnest, who labor hour by hour. But where, oh where, my brother, is God's almighty power? It is the Holy Spirit that quickeneth the soul. God will not take man worship, nor bow to man's control. No human innovation, No skill or worldly art can give a true repentance or break the sinner's heart. Great God, revive us truly and keep us every day, that men may all acknowledge we live just as we pray. The Lord's hand is not shortened. He still delights to bless if we depart from evil and all our sins confess. As a word from the Lord. And on this new year, on this New Year's Day, let us confess our sins. Let us turn from the things that grieve the Lord. Quench the Holy Spirit, that we might know his hand upon us in 2017. Let us pray. Gracious God, we desperately need you. And we do pray, O God, that over these coming days, as we adjust to a new year, and no doubt as we make our plans for different things, as people get back to school, as people get back to work, Lord, grant that we will also carve out time to be still and to know that you are God, to realize that we cannot cause an anxious thought, that we cannot change an unbelieving world, that unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. But Lord, we are not without hope. And we thank you, gracious God, that you still delight to bless. And Lord, the promise is that as we seek the Lord, we will find him if we seek him with all our hearts. Lord, may that be the spirit in which we step into this new year, seeking the Lord with a full heart, living for Jesus, resting on the Almighty, trusting in our Heavenly Father. Gracious God, come and bless this word to all of our hearts over these coming days. And we ask this prayer in our Saviour's name. Amen.